my curious players. This is the Dominion League Weekly Podcast. I am your host, Stumpf, and this is a very special interview episode with none other than Steph. For those of you who don't know, Steph is the developer behind Dominion.games and the founder of the Dominion League. He is a 9-times league champion, but quit playing League in the fall of 2016 for reasons he will share with us in the interview. Up until that point, he had played in all 17 league seasons, and all of them in A Division. You may remember that basically for these first 17 seasons, the championship went either to Steph or to Mick Sinuk, and we assume that Steph would have continued to dominate A Division had he stayed with the league. His median finish is listed as second in A, and his overall win percentage throughout these 17 seasons is 61%. He played a total of 492 games during his career, and 96 of those against Mick. In this interview, you will hear him live edit his card lists and try to explain coding to me. I give you Steph.
How are you?
Yeah, good. thanks for doing this.
I mean, thank you for doing this. I'm very excited for this. This is great. So, shall we just get going? I feel like there are so many questions.
Yeah, sure. I mean, do you have questions yourself as well, or is it you asking questions that other people asked?
I mean, so you see in the document, whenever there is no name behind the question, then that's my question. But also, okay. I cut back on like my usual questions, and then also a lot of people just asked the things that I would have asked anyway. So
yeah.
So that's, is there anything that you don't particularly want to talk about?
Well, I mean, there are some things, maybe, I don't know. I mean, there are a couple of questions where I don't really have an answer.
Okay.
But that shouldn't stop you from asking the question.
Okay, then we'll get to that when we get to that. Okay, so would you like to really quickly introduce yourself and maybe just say a few words about who you are, where you're from, what you are doing, and maybe, I mean, everyone knows what you're doing, but maybe a little bit about yourself.
Oh, I don't think they do. I mean, so my name is Steph, and I've lived in Amsterdam all my life. Mm-hmm. And well, I started playing Dominion like right when it, at least before Intrigue was released. So like, yeah, quite soon. And it's been my work for the last 6-7 years, something like that. And last year I started doing a new education to become a primary school teacher.
That is so cool.
Yeah, that's quite a change in my life. Mm-hmm. I'm working significantly less on Dominion now than I used to do before that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think I kind of got a bit fed up with being alone behind a computer all day, every day.
Yeah.
Even though, I mean, it's possible to talk about it on Discord or whatever. But it's still not the same as being with real life people around you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I really like spending time with children, so.
Oh. Cool.
Basically, that's been most of my time for the past year.
That is definitely something I don't think many people know. So that's great.
Yep.
So usually I do a little warm-up quiz with my interview guests, and it's 10 questions, and they are either or questions. So I'll just read the questions for you, and you can decide which one of those you prefer.
Okay.
All right. France or Germany?
I've spent much more time in Germany, but I like the sun in France, so yeah.
Apple juice or orange juice?
Ooh, I really like both, but
You can say both.
okay, I'll say both.
Saturday or Sunday?
I have no preference.
Purple or green?
Purple.
Very good. The sea or the mountains?
The sea, easy one.
Hamsters? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, I grew up on ships, so.
Okay. Well, you never know, right? If I thought, okay, you are in the Netherlands, so you probably have a lot of the sea, so maybe that's why the mountains are like special to you or anything, right? You never know.
Yeah,
But
okay, but no.
no. Okay, hamsters or eagles?
No preference. I don't think I like any either.
Rice or noodles?
Rice.
Books or movies?
That depends on the mood. I can like both.
Fair. Theater or opera?
Theater.
And playing Dominion online or playing Dominion IRL?
Oh, well, I don't know what to say there. I mean, I like the competitive thing about Dominion Online and being able to play with people on my own level. And IRL can be just lots of fun if there are several people around. Yeah.
That's fair.
Both can be great. I think I prefer IRL, can be more fun. So like, but it can also be, yeah, I also have some awkward memories about, I mean, people who just are constantly talking about expecting to lose, and I don't know, there's no fun in me for playing those games.
Okay. Yeah, no, that makes sense. I would be one of those people. I do talk about that a lot. But only when I'm playing people online, because like IRL, I usually play with my mom and then so well. She enjoys
Yep.
it.
Oh, okay.
And then so that's the warm-up. But I do have a quiz question for you as well.
Okay.
And the quiz question is, during your league career, how many unique opponents did you play? What do you think?
Oh, I think not that many actually, because I never switched
Yeah.
what's that called? Switched
That's
divisions.
true.
So, maybe 30-ish.
Oh, very close. 28.
Okay. Yeah, that's quite close indeed.
Well done. All right, so let's just get right to it. I wanted to know, but Olivier1152 also wanted to know, basically, how did you come to playing Dominion, and did you make an effort to become as good as you are?
Okay. Well, I got in contact with the game when I was visiting a friend in Zurich. He worked at Google at the time, and they played it over there. Then I played a lot of games IRL. Actually, I think I already was when at some point I discovered Isotropic. That was probably 12 years ago or so. At that time, I've been playing with Base and Intrigue only at home. I didn't even know any further expansions existed. And I think when I don't even know what the newest expansion was at that time, but then there were like four, five expansions I had to get a grasp of, or I learned the cards. But I think I already was, I just went straight to the number one spot. So I already really understood the working of the game, the building of an engine. I just learned that from playing with Base and Intrigue only. And then it was just, yeah, learning the new cards for me before I could actually make it to the top. But that wasn't that, yeah. I don't know. I mean, there's obviously nowadays there are much more cards, many more cards. And if you want to have a like a level 50 up you probably just need to have seen all those cards at least.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really work out if you start every game by reading cards. But that was less important back in the day. I don't really know how to answer this question. What did I do? Well, I played a lot of IRL games with the first two expansions. I guess that's...
Yeah. Maybe it's easier to answer from the outside, I guess. Like, if people watch you play and watch other people play.
It mostly feels like it came naturally to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what it sounds like. Yeah. Which is great.
I mean, I know my very first game, IRL, it had the chapel.
Mm-hmm.
And it was instantly clear to me that I needed to get this and get rid of all the nonsense.
Well, that is already probably like more than most of the people think, and when they first play. So yeah, I guess you have a very good grasp of the aim of the game. So yeah, what motivated you to create the Dominion League? And it's another question from, like, I also had the question, but Aleb sent that in, and he also wanted to say thank you for being the giant whose shoulders he could stand upon.
Oh, well, thanks to him for saying these nice words. The motivation for the league was mostly, I mean, at that time, there were only knockout tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
And I just really, I was playing them. And I disliked the feeling that it gave me while playing these tournaments, because there was 80% of the time I was playing against people who were much weaker.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, basically either I could do as expected or I could lose. But those were the two options.
Mm.
So I was looking for a competitive environment where everyone could play against their own level. Yeah, that was the motivation.
Yeah.
To create something that I would enjoy myself and also expected other people to enjoy more than the yearly knockout tournament.
How does it feel? I mean, you stepped away from League a long time ago, but how does it feel like looking at it now, like what it has evolved into? That it's it got so huge and so many people are playing now.
Mm-hmm. That's really great.
Yeah.
Of course. I mean, yeah. There was actually a personal friend of mine who started playing Dominion like half a year ago. He asked me a couple of weeks ago, "Hey, is this league thing any good, or what is it? Would you advise me to play in it?" So yeah, it's great that it's still going on and that I was able to help it out so much with these messages every time they start a new season.
Yeah, yeah.
That's actually a rather simple feature of the client that probably has had a really big impact on, well, mostly this tournament.
Yes, yes. I would think so, yeah. Do you miss playing League?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I don't miss... No, I do miss it, for sure, clearly.
Hmm.
There is one drawback that once you make an appointment, you actually have you have to schedule time for it when you don't feel like playing at that time. Like right now, I only play when I want to. So,
yeah.
But what I miss is, most of the time now when I play a game, it's against someone who's like 8, 9, 10 levels below me.
Yeah.
And in League, that's not happening so much. It's just all against your own level.
I don't know if you want to talk about that, but my assumption is that you're not playing League anymore because you run the client.
True.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly it. And I mean, it was a suggestion by Donald.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe a rather strong suggestion.
I see.
Well, it wasn't particularly about League, but mostly it's why I removed myself from the leaderboard. And it would be very easy for me to cheat, and I don't want anyone to ever even think that I would do that. So
yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. So 2 years ago when I interviewed Mick Zinok, I asked him, I don't think it was my question, it was like someone else's question, but someone wanted Mick to guess, like, if you had continued playing League, like, which one of you would have won more championships. So I'm going to ask you now, what do you think if you had, I don't know if you spectate the championship matches, but have a guess.
When I have a chance, I do spectate them.
Mm-hmm. What do you think between the two of you?
I think we were quite even and when I quit. I'm not even sure on that, but mm-hmm. I mean, it was like he was ahead at the start, and I think I was slightly ahead when I stopped. If I remember correctly, he won the first two.
You should be able to find this out.
And then at some point, I overtook him again. I think, I mean, we just went back and forth. It's I could just as well throw a dice.
No, it's true. He won the first two, and then you won, and then he won, and then you won, and then he won. Yeah, you're right. It was like very... Oh, and then you won a couple, like four in a row.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, the first, I think, 17 seasons or so, it was just... It was always one of
it was mostly, well, yeah, we were alternating a bit.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I mean, obviously, when I watch him play, I sometimes think, oh, this is quite a bad move, and yeah. I'd never do that. But then again, I have exactly the same thoughts when I look at my own play.
Yeah.
Like, this is a dumb play. I would never do that. But then I realize I just did it, so...
Yeah, it happens. I find that it's, I mean, this is a very banal insight, I guess, but it's just like, it's so much different when you're just spectating from when you're playing. And I don't know, sometimes you lose your head and do like very silly things. And just because like you're nervous and stuff.
Yeah, sometimes I hear people talking about whether or not they made a mistake playing a game of Dominion. And mm-hmm. then I think they just... really don't grasp the concept because I make mistakes every game I play.
Interesting. That's a good perspective.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. But it's also, I mean, it's the game is just that complex in my opinion. You can't do flawless games.
Yeah, that is true. So, Alubi also wanted to know if there was a tournament format or a theme that would entice you enough to join, but I have to assume that you are just not going to join any tournaments that are played on the client?
No, not necessarily. I mean, but yeah. I'm unsure, actually. I could see myself playing in one of the tournaments with a special set that Donald creates.
Mm-hmm, the mixes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are pretty fun to learn whenever there's a new expansion. I find the mixed tournaments really help too.
Yeah, for new expansions, it's not so likely that I join because then I'd feel like I have an edge knowing the cards longer than most of the other people.
That's true. It's probably just for me as a spectator. I get to see all the interesting combinations.
Yeah, okay. I can see that.
Okay, so you would join a mix format, but not for one of the recent expansions. So
yeah.
All right, Alubi, that's your.
Well,
clue.
I'm not saying I would join, but I can see myself joining because I also feel like they're not actually very serious tournaments.
Compared to what?
Well, like compared to League or compared to the Championship, they're more clearly just for fun.
Yeah, yeah. You're not here for fun. You're here for the
for the sport. I don't want to be involved in something that's more for the sport and then people thinking maybe, oh, he could be cheating. When the tournament is more obviously for fun, then that argument would just not apply.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. So, yeah, let's talk about the client. That's what I'm very interested in, and also, yeah, we got a lot of questions. Can you talk about like the genesis of the client a little bit? How did this idea come up?
Yeah, sure. Well, first of all, at some point I became a playtester in Donald's semi-secret group of playtesters who playtest new expansions. I think I got into that, I don't know, 1 or 2 years before starting this client.
Mm-hmm.
And Donald just was looking for new people. And I was, at the time, I was quite far ahead of the number two on the leaderboards. And he wanted some strong players. I think I got invited at the same time as Mick.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew Donald. Mm-hmm. And we all had been forced over from Isotropic to this horrible new thing. Yeah, it was clear there was a lot of displeased users in the community, at least in the competitive community. There were so many stupid things in the client, and it was crashing. And so I also knew that Donald was displeased with it. And at some point, he talked about the duration of the license running out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he said he was utterly fed up with those people, and he wanted to look for a new company to do it, and he was asking for advice all around.
Mm-hmm.
And he was considering a lot of options. And then we talked to him and asked if maybe we could do it. And we, at the time, was Philip and me.
Mm-hmm.
And he said no. He wasn't looking for two guys doing it. He was looking for a professional company that had established a name for itself and had several games, and I don't know.
Yeah.
So he certainly wasn't going to talk to us.
Yeah.
And this was around New Year. And then we said, well, we'd really want to do this. And I got the impression that he was still in a rather early stage of looking for a new partner to do this with.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this impression strong enough that we said to him, well, you know what? We're just going to build something anyway. We don't care about you saying that we're not going to get it. That's what we're going to do now. And then Donald and Jay, that's the person from RTG Games, they were kind of impressed with that we said this. And then they said, well, okay, you know what? For the next 2 months, yeah, I mean, you're still not going to get it, but for the next 2 months, at least we're not going to sign with someone else. We're going to continue looking, and we're going to continue talking to other people, but we're not going to sign with them yet. Which, I mean, that was still kind of, they weren't going to sign with someone within 2 months anyway, I think. Yeah, because they were just still in the preliminary process, and, well, you don't start by signing.
Yeah.
So, but it was enough for us to be even more motivated to, really start working on it. And then I think we kind of did the opposite of what the people before that did. Like we selected 80-ish cards, but we only selected the what we considered the 80 most difficult cards to implement. Yeah, we actually got that running, and so 2 months later we could show Donald a playable game and Jay.
Hmm.
Yeah, I'm not sure what to say beyond that. They were really impressed with what we made in 2 months, and then we talked more. And I think for another 6 weeks or so, and then we signed the contract.
Nice.
That said, we could actually launch at the end of the year.
Yeah. Wow. So how much work was that, these 2 months?
The 2 months were really like all day, every day.
Mm. Wow.
80 hours a week.
Oh my God.
Yeah. 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 I mean, that was extremely busy, and then we kind of seriously slowed down after that a bit while having the talks about whether we'd get the contract. And
yeah.
And then we fired up again, I don't know, in May or June.
Mm-hmm. That sounds very impressive. I actually have like very little insight into how much, like what that really entails. And I only know like the client in its current form, right? But yes, it sounds like a lot of work, and I'm very happy that it worked out.
Yeah, I am too, really. Yeah, and then, I mean, this client was made the rest of that year mostly. We had a completely different client in the first 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
In a different language, and yeah.
Yeah. So what is the daily upkeep like to run the client?
In money-wise?
I'm not sure. I don't think it's the question is about money. It's one, like, it's another question by A. Lobby. How do you understand the question?
Yeah, I would understand like money wise.
Okay, well then that's the question.
Well, I pay about 100 euros a day to AWS.
Mm-hmm.
And then the payment providers are probably the next most expensive thing, mm-hmm. although I don't exactly know how much they take.
Mm-hmm.
I think about half of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything else is basically nothing. I mean, it's still like, yeah, hosting the site costs like 400 or 500 a year, I think. But on a daily basis, that's like, yeah,
mm-hmm.
1 or 2 euros. What else would be involved? Yeah, I mean, there are, of course, there are a couple of other things, but they're very cheap, like registering the names and the HTTPS and...
Mm.
The mailing and
so the company is called Shuffle It. How do you actually pronounce it?
Shuffle It.
Okay. So Shuffle It was founded by you and Philip, I assume?
Yeah, correct.
So how many people are working there now? Is it just you or is it more people?
It's just me, although for the past expansion, Severi did a ton of work.
Mm-hmm.
Much more than I did. But he's in a position where he can't officially work for Shuffle It.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about that and we both wanted it. But then, yeah, he moved to America and then he has a really good job there.
Mm.
I don't know. Some of the conditions there involve that he can't take on another job. Mm-hmm. He isn't allowed to.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. So I've always wondered... so it's you and Severi. I always wondered whenever.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah. Injix also has done tons of things and still does.
Yeah.
For the community and for answering people's questions and for doing the translations to German. And he does a lot of exhaustive testing whenever he makes something new.
Ah.
So, I mean, there are many more people involved, especially also all the other translators.
Yeah.
They are involved, but they're not officially working for it.
Yeah. But things like when there are bugs or something, that's not a thing that Ingix can fix, right? There are certain things that only you can fix, or I don't know, can...
Safari certainly also can fix them.
Okay.
Depends on the kind of bug. Mm-hmm. I mean, Ingix has fixed quite a number of bugs, but they're client-side bugs.
Mm-hmm.
Like when there's a bug in the card interactions, then it's... It used to be me only, and now it's Severi as well. Yeah.
Mm. But for things, okay, I'm really sorry. I'm lacking like the technical vocab here because it's just like not my area of expertise at all. But I guess my question is, like, how stressful is it to run this client when I don't know, like. Certain things break down and you can't access the client or for whatever reason and you are the only person who can fix it or whatever. Like you do you have to be like available all the time and be like in reach all the time if a thing happens? Is that like stressful or?
I've come to, I've learned to accept it.
Yeah.
Do I have to be available all the time? I don't know. There are strange connection issue problems who have been running, well, for quite a while now. And they're, I don't know. Yeah, sometimes it does break down. And then I have to reset something. And that's a relatively simple thing to do, but I need access to my computer and the internet at that time. And of course, I don't always carry my computer around. So
yeah,
it does happen, but fortunately, not very often.
Yeah, not very often, but you just learn to accept it and then
Yeah.
It's going to happen and people are going to be upset, but that's it. Like, that's the nature of the thing.
Mm-hmm. And at some point I think, okay, it's a game, you know, I mean, I would run it differently if people's lives depend on it.
That is, yes, that is very true. No one is going to die.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. So what was the most unexpected difficulty in creating the platform? Jane Ailes wants to know.
Well, I mean, for me personally, there is a big problem with I don't really have a good feeling for the client.
Oh.
You know, I know a lot of things about the server, and which does all the game logic.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, yeah, I'm just not that... It's not really my interest to make the user interface... And in that sense, I'm extremely grateful that Severi dived into that.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, that's the big problem. I mean, I know that people, I could say that like the old version of Inheritance was, it had really tricky interactions.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, yeah, even that one didn't really bother me.
Okay, so you're more interested in that... The interactions are all correct, that the rules are correct, is that, and you're not as interested in how to actually use it, or?
I mean interested, I really want people to be able to use it and to be it just never has been my hobby. That has only been my work.
Mm-hmm.
I would never, I think like a couple of years before I ever created this Dominion thing, I already wrote something where you could play Dominion against it that just had the base set of Dominion.
Mm-hmm.
But then it was all text-based, and that was fine for me personally.
Mm-hmm. That is so fascinating. You wrote your own Dominion game, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Okay, cool. What I always wonder with when you turn your hobby into your job, how does that change your experience of your hobby? Do you still like enjoy it the same way you did before you started Dominion Duck Games?
I kind of think, yeah, it comes and it goes, but I mean, I still play a lot, just not for tournaments, and I play on ladder a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, nobody's forcing me to do it, so
that's true.
I guess I still enjoy it. Yeah,
That's good. That's good.
And I mean, it's also really due to the new expansions.
Yeah.
Whenever a new expansion comes out, I really enjoy the games with that. I love this last one as well.
Mm-hmm. So when you play yourself, do you ever think like, oh, we have to fix a thing here, or this could be smoother, or anything like that? Yeah, okay. Okay. That's very fascinating to me. And another thing that I wondered, because to me, I love this game, and I think Dominion Duck Games is just like a great, it's such a great site, and it's so helpful. I also enjoy playing IRL with people, right? Because then you have like more of the social aspects of playing a game.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just so much more effortful in the way that, right, you have to shuffle yourself and you have to remember all the rules and all the interactions and stuff. So like, especially when new expansions come out, I'm just very grateful to just have the client that tells me how the card works, right? And I was wondering what that process is when there is a new expansion, and like how much interaction and communication is there between you and Donalex, just in terms of what does this card actually do? I have to believe, or like I would assume, since you are a playtester as well, a lot of that evolves already during playtesting, right?
When it's certainly not the same answer for every expansion.
Yeah,
some expansions were he did all the playtesting elsewhere, and when it was finished, I kind of got the list and started implementing them. And then I just asked questions to Donald and also his playtesters already playtest every card I release. And we just have a book section on the forum and people report books and I fix them. And Donald himself is really helpful. When I ask him a question about new cards, I always get a very detailed answer. Around new expansions, there usually has been a lot of interaction. And one of the expansions was actually, I think we only did one, where the cards were, they didn't exist yet before I started implementing them. So I did, but that was more work than I really enjoyed.
Okay.
Like, I mean, new expansions, they involve like creating 75 cards at least. And then shooting down 50 of them. And I mean, that's probably Donald in his head, he makes many more than 75.
Yeah,
so
probably.
They're already quite far developed before I ever hear about them. But then still, yeah, it just involved much more work than and sometimes creating concepts that eventually got shut down. That it probably wasn't that good an idea to do that online. I mean, at the time it was a good idea because this was during COVID and he wasn't really capable of playtesting as much IRL as he was used to.
Yeah.
So we playtested that one much more online.
Yeah. I talked to Donald X a little bit for like past projects and he always stresses that, like, to him, Dominion is primarily like a board game that you play in real life, right? That you play together with other people, not online.
He can say that, and probably if you just count the number of people in the world, he's correct. But I also know there's quite a large community who plays much more online than offline.
Yeah, I mean, it's like for sure. I would also, I also think it's just much more convenient to play it online. But everyone can have their own preference, right? And I understand why, like for him as the as a game developer, he is thinking primarily of how do these things work IRL. My question for you is: do you ever? Is that something that shines through, like his preference for IRL?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
I mean, there are a lot of decisions in a card design where some of the choices just don't make any sense online, and they make loads of sense IRL. And then IRL always dictates what the card becomes.
Yeah.
I don't know if you need concrete examples, but
sure, if you have some.
I mean, there's like every card that's like a simple card, like Cut Purse.
Yeah.
You're supposed to discard a copper.
Yeah.
If you would design this card for online play, you would just say everyone else discards a copper, or I mean, every other player. I don't know what word to use. And this clause, if they don't have a copper, they have to reveal their hand.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That wouldn't make, you just let that out. I mean, it's a lot of extra text on a card that wouldn't need it if the client enforces them to be honest.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
In IRL, you need this clause. So the card becomes the more complex version.
Yes.
And there are like every card that gives you choices at some point, maybe it should never give you that choice if you just think about the online game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Ah, that's so curious. Another thing that I was wondering is now with the emergence of the mobile client, the TGG version of Dominion, is that competition at all to your business?
I wonder about that too. I mean, I don't know how to measure it.
Yeah.
And there's also, I should say, there's a lot of things that I could measure that I don't measure. I'm still very much in this. Like, at some point I enjoyed making the game, and it turned into work. But I'm not really, what should I say? I'm not that much into the making money out of it part of the deal.
Yeah.
Like, there are, when I talk to about this project to people who studied economics or marketing or something like that, and I tell them all these things that I don't measure or have no clue about, then they usually think I'm kind of half crazy.
Okay.
And I'm just fine with it. I mean, I don't know what to say. I love that people can play it, and I enjoy. It makes me enough money that I don't have to do something else.
Yeah.
And that's great.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a blessing for us, like for the users, for the players. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. I've tried to make it cheaper whenever I could. Mm-hmm. And this is what they get now. And I don't know. I mean, I of course I know how much money comes in, and I know that during COVID there was a huge explosion.
Yeah.
And then after COVID, I think like half of it went away again. But and after that, it's basically the same. But I have no idea how it would have changed if TGG never started or never would start. Or
have you tried TGG?
At the very first, I was one of their playtesters. Very early on. I see that they play a lot of my system to check how things work. Yeah, I mean, when they got the contract way before they actually released.
Mm-hmm.
And very early on, I offered to help them quite a bit, but they didn't really feel like that. And I'm not really checking it out now, no. I'm mostly ignoring it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm very curious to see how it will go with TGG, because I'm also like not very convinced by it. But I mean, there's always room for development.
Oh yeah, sure. I mean, at some point, I even offered them to have a shared user base.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you make an account on one, you can also play on the other.
Mm-hmm.
But well, I don't know. At some point, our communication kind of died out.
Okay. I see. Well, that's pretty generous. It's a pretty generous offer. It's an interesting idea. Oh, well. Maybe in the future. Maybe when they have found their footing a little bit. Maybe they will come back.
Who knows?
Okay. So, Sam E. and J. Niles both wanted to know what was the card-shaped object were effect that was the most difficult or annoying to implement.
Yeah, that's kind of clearly inheritance, the old version.
Okay. Can you say a little bit more about that? What made that annoying or difficult?
Well, it had the card become another card. Like, it didn't get any... I mean, maybe it wasn't that annoying, because I mean, it was like one of the very first cards I started working on. You know, it already existed when we.
Mm-hmm.
No, maybe it didn't. It was the newest expansion. That was also the main problem from Donald's with the previous company. It was Adventures that they took like 1.5 years to release it online after the physical one was released.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was pretty sad.
Yeah.
And so for me, when we released, Adventures was part of it. And I mean, of course, I started with Village and Smithy, but like right after that, I thought, okay, let's get this inheritance thing done.
Amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just the way to write code. Like, you start with what's difficult, and then all the easy things, they come afterwards easily.
Ooh, I see.
Anyway, what was difficult about it? I don't know how to explain this.
Okay. That's okay.
Yeah, there are a lot of other cards with triggers on things. Like the estate could become a reaction, and then you would have to be able to react with that card.
Okay, yeah, no, I see what you mean.
So many of the difficult things have been solved by this rule change.
What was the rule change?
Well, now inheritance, it now lets your estates do something when you play them. But the estates don't become the other card anymore.
Oh, I see. Okay, that would answer. I played a match this morning with inheritance, and I inherited a village green. So that's why.
Yeah.
That's okay.
In the old rules, you would be able to do the reactions on village green with the estates.
Okay.
But in the new rules, you can't.
I see. I totally missed that. That was probably a long time ago that changed, but I was very confused this morning.
I think about 3 years ago.
Oh, no. Well, yeah. I am very attentive. Okay. Now I see what you mean. Okay. And that makes it easier because it's less.
Yeah. I mean, the number of code required to implement the new inheritance compared to the old one is like a quarter or I don't know.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Wow. But that means, I mean, I started playing November 2020, so.
I don't think you ever played with the old one then.
Yeah, it just goes to show that I'm very attentive when I play Dominion. I just puzzle about the card sometimes, but the client is always right, so.
No, it's not, but it's right a lot of the time. And when we started, there were so many fake bug reports.
Okay, so Sammy also wanted to know what is the biggest code refactoring you've done that users would never have noticed? And I will say I don't really understand the question. So I'm not, I won't be able to really react to your answer, but I hope that Sammy can.
Well, I mean, there were a lot of code refactorings before launch, which of course no one ever noticed.
Yes, that makes sense.
I'm unsure what to answer here.
So code refactoring, okay, for the layperson, for me, code refactoring means you change how a card, like you change an interaction?
No. Those are things a user would notice. You know, code refactoring is you restructure the code to make it more elegant or better readable or...
Okay.
Things like that, actually without changing how it functions.
Mm-hmm. But then, so how would I notice? Or is that what the question is about?
No, you wouldn't notice.
Like, I don't
notice. What the question is about. Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
You wouldn't notice, but I would notice when the next time I need to change a card, it's much less work or...
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, maybe I reduce the chance for obscure bugs that you could notice, but never would.
All right. Gotcha. So... Do you remember any big code refactoring?
Yeah, I've done lots of them, although not recently. Mm-hmm. I haven't done big refactorings in quite a while.
Mm-hmm. The code is elegant and perfect.
No. No, I mean, code is never perfect. I think it's reasonably readable. Yeah, sure. I mean, Severi picked it up quite well. And without me having to talk to him a lot. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's a good thing for his skills, but also for the code.
Yeah. And Sammy also wanted to know what you would have done differently knowing the new features that were introduced after the release. I'm not quite sure what new features he refers to.
Well, like villagers or...
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, new concepts of cards that...
I mean,
yeah.
There's... I feel like that's always... I mean, with every new expansion, there is like something
something new,
right?
Yeah, sure. But sometimes something new could be more groundbreaking than something else.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, there were a couple of things early on that, like when something happens in Dominion, doesn't really matter what. Like, suppose you gain a card, you gain a silver. That could be some kind of effect. And then I've written this code that other cards or things can react to gaining a silver. And when we wrote the client, there was also a much longer list of things that just happened and nothing could react to, like getting an action or getting a buy or getting a coin or drawing a card even maybe. Those just happened because there were never any cards that did react to it. And later on, things were introduced that, that reacted to those things. I don't think my answer is going to make any sense to you.
I'm trying to follow.
Yeah.
But it's okay when it makes, like, when that's your answer, that's your answer. It's fine. It's all good.
Okay, so there was this concept of something that something else could react to, and there was a concept of something that just is executed instantly, and fewer things would have been something that just executes instantly.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is turning into like a private or like a personal learning session for me about coding, I guess. But is the goal with coding to just like write the... Like, is to say that a code is elegant, does that mean it's just, like, short and, like, does the thing it's supposed to do in, like, the shortest way possible? Is that, like, the goal?
No. Elegant is more about readability. And if you read it, are you really convinced that it does what it's supposed to do? Like how much chance is there is some sneaky bug in it that you wouldn't notice? Elegant is about how easy is it to change it.
Oh, okay, I see. So the goal is not to write a code that never needs to be changed, but to like write code that is easy to change if it needs to be changed.
Yeah, and easy to verify that it actually does what you think it does.
Okay. I'm learning.
Okay.
Is there anything more you wanted to say about that question?
No. It's okay, like this.
Okay. What is something about the site that you wish more players knew?
I don't know. What? I'm not even sure what this is hinting at, or...
Yeah, I don't... I mean, I don't know either. I feel like... from a user perspective, I think the site as it is now is very easy to navigate.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I wish people would. No, I don't know. I really don't know.
Everyone knows everything, and everyone's happy.
No, clearly not.
Yeah, I was gonna ask how. I feel like, okay, so like talking to Donalex, it's like very clear that, I mean, also Donalex being Donalex, of course, he takes like everything like about the game very seriously. And then, but also I feel like criticism, like the random criticism is just like sometimes hard to ignore. My question for you, do you get, is there in general like a lot of, are there a lot of complaints about the client? And if so... Do they bother you at all?
Well, I mean, at the start, there were more, and those bothered me more as well. But yeah, there's not a general answer to that. Like, if there is a serious problem and people complain about it, then I also, that really bothers me.
Yeah.
Like, when people can't play because the client is down and people complain about that, then for sure that bothers me.
Yeah. Okay. So then Monster Cheese wanted to know about the bugs. So she wants to know, how annoying is it to patch the obscure, weird bugs?
I don't know what you call obscure and weird perks.
I was gonna add, please give an example.
Yeah, for users, these all bugs are bugs. But for me, like bugs that are in card interactions are usually very easy to fix. Mm-hmm. Like as soon as I have a reproducible bug. Like there's this game number, and if you go to this decision and then it goes wrong, then I can easily trace that and fix it.
Yeah.
No matter how obscure this card interaction is, those are kind of easy to fix. Mm-hmm. And obscure things that are about networking issues, like people who can't load the site or who keep disconnecting or those are very hard to reproduce and therefore also much harder to fix.
Mm-hmm. Would that answer Monster's next question about the bug? Which bug was the worst to deal with?
Well, the worst. Like that, there are some bugs that I decided to ignore.
Mm-hmm.
These are very few, but they would be very annoying to deal with. I mean, I think, I think this is also, again, the networking issues, which is the worst to deal with because people can get really frustrated by it.
Yeah.
And I don't really know, I never really know what the problem is. Like, it could be, it could very easily be on their end. And I think a lot of the time it is, but sometimes it probably isn't, or there is like, a lot of people in a certain area that have trouble connecting, they're just very vague.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's hard for you to find out if it's like on your end or on their end.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they're also much more frustrating than when there's some card interaction that's going wrong.
Yeah. That makes sense. It's the specter of the spinning castle.
Yeah, that's the, I mean, like the spinning castle is something that people get to see, but there are like 100 different possible bugs that could be the cause of it.
Yeah. But if that's like from the user's perspective, if that's like the only thing that you see, it feels like this should be easy to fix, right? And you don't have the awareness. Like if it's someone like me who has like no clue about coding, then I guess like you just get impatient and just because you don't know that there's 100 possible things that could have caused it.
I probably should have. I mean, there was a couple of questions ago from Sam, what would you have done differently?
Yeah.
Knowing the new features, then it's probably like this spinning castle thing, I should have explained better to people what was actually happening at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean by explaining, like making more forum posts about it, but explaining like letting the client display some message.
Yeah.
In different situations, different messages.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right.
No, go on.
Is there anything else you would like to share about the website?
I don't know.
Okay, because if not, we're going to move ahead to like more Dominion specific questions.
Yeah, sure. Go.
Okay. So, do you have a favorite card-shaped object, and if so, which is it?
It's clearly Black Market.
Oh really? Oh, that's so cool.
It has been forever, and I think it's just gonna stay there.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah.
It's also like one of those cards where it's just infinitely more easy to play it online than play it IRL.
Yeah. Yeah. True.
Yeah. Do you have a like list, a dislike list, a ban list?
Yeah, I do.
Would you like to share?
Yeah,
What's on
sure.
those
I mean,
lists?
I could look it up. I think
Yes.
Swindler is on my ban list.
Oh no.
Because I really hate it.
Oh no. Like even from the old days when you only started when you only played bass and intrigue.
Yeah, but there wasn't a ban list.
No,
I
but
hate it from the time.
your hate from your Swindler hate.
Yeah. It does.
Okay.
On my like list was Black Market and Captain, but I'll remove Captain because I don't actually like it. It was just new at the time and I put it on my list. And
Oh
I
no. What have I
mean,
done?
the list is just, the like list is quite irrelevant anyway because it's never on.
It's true. It's true.
So now only Black Market. Their cards I dislike has Smugglers, Governor, Swamp Hag, and Catapult. I mean, Smugglers and Swamp Hag, I kind of dislike what they do to the game.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to get a nice card because it's bad for me vibe.
Yeah, okay.
Governor, I think,
Interesting.
is I think just a bit too strong and too monolithic. Like Catapult. Yeah, I've had too many games where you just constantly get attacked, and the best thing to do is to get two of them and constantly attack your opponent. So I think that's why that's on there. Salty Earth is on my dislike list because it just makes the game shorter, and I like long games.
What is a long game in your understanding? How many turns is a long game?
Well, it's not so much about number of turns or number of time, but I think I like the building good decks, being rewarded for investing in your deck.
Okay, yeah, sure.
And Salty Earth does the opposite. It's like
Oh.
try to grab a points lead and finish this game.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not on my banned list, it's on my dislike list, so it's fine
Yeah,
there.
yeah, yeah,
And banned, I have Swindler in Possession.
yeah. Okay, that's very standard, I would say.
Yeah, probably. Probably, yeah. Swindler is pretty strong and just makes it so random.
Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah. And possession is just possession. Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's not that I could remove it, I guess. There
No,
there is
I
quite a bit of strategy involved in possessions, but yeah, I don't know. It's gone from my universe.
Yeah, it's interesting because like so many people have it banned. You see it very rarely, and then I'm always shocked and surprised when it comes up in one of my tournament matches. And I remember, yeah, okay, it's yes, I don't have like any cards banned, so I should have known. No,
You have no cards banned.
but I never ladder, so it's not as important, I guess, my ban list.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't most tournaments also support a banned list?
Yes, but I don't know. I feel like if I played more ladder, then it would probably annoy me more. And since I don't, and I only play tournament matches, that doesn't really come up all that often, right? And if it comes up against a bot, it's just fun. So
Yeah, okay. I never play against the bot.
I play against the bot every day. So yeah,
Okay.
that's what I do most of the time when I play Dominion. So
Okay.
very meditative. All right. Janelle wants to know what you think, or in your opinion, what is the most overrated card and what is the most underrated card?
Yeah, that's I so strongly dislike this question because
Oh,
it, I mean, it doesn't depend on the card at all. It depends on
on the
your opinion.
player. Yeah,
On,
yeah.
yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
I mean, yeah.
Okay, then we move on.
I don't know. I feel like this. I don't even know the name at the moment. The new two-cost cellar-like thing, Grotto.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's probably quite strong. And I sometimes see people ignore it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's also... I feel like it's one of those cards that you have to... You just have to understand how they work, because, I mean, I am like a medium level player, I would say, and I tend to ignore cards that I don't know, that I'm not sure of, right? Where I, like, if I watch other people and stronger players play matches, I get a feeling of how they're supposed to work. But if I'm on, like, by myself, I'm like, oh my god, like, I don't even know how to play this, and then it's, maybe it's better not to gain it if I don't know how to play it, right? So Grotto is definitely one of those cards where I feel like if I see it like being like doing what it's supposed to do, I'm like, yes, this is perfect. But if I come across it in one of my games, I'm like, I don't even know how to pull this off.
Well, okay. Try opening with Grotto and see what happens.
Sure. I mean, that's also how you learn, right? How you learn to
play. Yeah.
That makes sense. So, Grotto would be your pick for an underrated card at the moment.
Yeah, but it depends on how you rate it. If you think it's a great card, then it's certainly not underrated.
Okay. What's the most memorable Dominion match that you played or individual game?
Pooh. I don't know. Memorable for what purpose? For the strategic purpose or for what the results on?
I don't know. Emotional, maybe. It was a very tense match or a very cool match where you were able to pull something incredible. What were your, like, those first 17 league championship matches like? were they like nail biters, or was it just like, okay, sometimes you were in a better shape than Mick, or Mick was in a better shape and it was always very clear?
Oh, I mean, everything happened. Sometimes he was in a clear lead, sometimes I was, and sometimes it was really close.
Mm.
Yeah, but do I remember individual games from the time?
I mean, yeah, okay. So that was probably a long time ago. But
I doubt it. Yeah.
But when you play ladder now, do you sometimes have like games where like this was very cool?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. Considering that you don't really play tournaments, it's probably difficult for you to answer.
Yeah, I mean, I do still remember some games from like Isotropic or. But yeah, I remember a game where I had to ambassador my own good stuff back to the supply just to prolong the game.
Ooh. And did you surmount... win?
Yeah. I mean, otherwise, I wouldn't remember it now. But I mean, my opponent was trying to three pile, and I had this huge engine that didn't have enough time to come back. But then I had to return. My good components, two at a time, so one of them would stay in the supply.
Hmm.
And to get the piles back up a bit, that was certainly nice.
Do you have any players that you would love to play against sometime?
Players that I love to play but don't get a chance to play against? Or
mm-hmm. Anyone where you feel like, oh, it would be great to play this person sometime?
Well, probably. I mean, most of the people I get to play from time to time.
Mm-hmm. On ladder.
But Mick is the exception.
Because but he that's doesn't just, ladder.
I only play ladder and he never plays ladder.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think he does probably that on purpose? He just.
Not playing ladder?
Yes.
He certainly doesn't do it on purpose to avoid me, but he doesn't play ladder on purpose. It's not.
No, I was just kidding.
He just doesn't enjoy playing ladder, I guess.
Yeah,
I don't know the reasons, but he must have them.
I'm probably like him in that way. Okay, so I mean, it would definitely, from a spectator's point of view, it would definitely be something to watch, like, you two play again.
Yeah, I would enjoy it, sure.
Do you have a favorite expansion?
Well, for quite a while, I really liked the last one.
Okay, what does that mean? Always the last one, or?
Yeah, well, Plunder specifically. But I think it's also really related to the fact that it is the last one. Okay. You know, like, I just like the new, yeah. Like, I mean, I enjoy it when there are interactions you can still discover during the game.
Yeah.
And that's just very unlikely to happen with a couple of base cards and some intrigue cards that I've been playing for 15 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, did I understand that correctly? You're not always a playtester, but sometimes?
Yeah, correct. Sure. Mm. Yes. Mm. And, I mean, there has been a bit of fuss or annoying things with cards getting out in the open before they shoot.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't really know exactly what, where, how that was caused, but I know Donald blamed it on this system or the people using it. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Lots of uncertainty there for me.
Okay. Why I asked the question was more like, when you are playtesting, are you, like, can you talk about that a little bit, just the process of it? Are you just, you play, do you just play, like, the new cards, or is it, like, a mix of cards that you play, and then you look for, like, how do they interact with, like, the existing cards, and are there problems with how they might interact? What is that like?
Yeah, I mean, sorry, are you talking about playtesting, like testing the client and does the card do what it's supposed to do?
Yeah.
Or is it playtesting a completely new card that might still have to change or disappear from the game? Or?
Oh, the latter. Like if there's okay. A new expansion and you playtest the cards. But also, the other question is also interesting. Maybe we can answer that after that.
For me, it's just playing games with the card and trying to abuse it. Like I remember clearly that there was this summon,
mm-hmm.
which we now know as it costs 5 and you can play a card up to 4 on your next turn.
Yeah.
And there was an earlier version of it that let you do it with any card, but then you had to pay 2 coins extra.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just, I don't even know with whom, but I had this session with someone where my strategy was to just always buy it every turn.
Mm.
And their strategy was to never buy it and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And then it turned out that just always buying it was a very good strategy.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, then we reported this back to Donald, and that clearly meant that the card was too strong at the time.
Yeah.
And it got changed. So playtesting is a lot of that. Like, hey, how about I do this all the time and you do it never?
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen?
Mm-hmm. So it's not like you just like randomly play some kingdoms the way you would on Ladder,
also,
for example?
No, I mean, usually, I mean, you can do like 5 random cards from the new sets and then the rest random. And mm-hmm. let's just play a game and talk about your thoughts during the game.
And then, so the other question was playtesting.
And of course, there are several aspects of a card. Like, is the card too strong or too weak? It's just one of the playtesting things. Eventually, it's mostly about, is the card fun to play with?
Yeah.
And then, in my opinion, and probably also in Donald's opinion, I'm more suitable to answer the question, is the card too strong or too weak? So usually that was what I focused on a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Being one of the top players.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably where my strong suit is.
Yeah, that makes sense. So going back to the question of like playtesting a card specifically, like in the client, like if
looking for bugs.
Yeah, so that's just it, right? You know, like the card has been it has been created, and we know this is what the card is supposed to do, and now you have to make sure that it does that in the client.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes it also involves actually getting to understand what it does.
Yeah.
Like there have been some cards where I just misunderstood the text. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's something you said, that's something that Ingix, for example, also does a lot, where he like tests. Okay. So you have a couple people who just play those cards in the client with you, and so to make sure that they reflect the
yeah
intention.
Yeah, there are a couple of other URLs, like dominion.games is the public one, but well, I don't know how many others you know. There probably are more than you know.
Yeah, probably. Yes. Very, very likely.
Where I can also deploy clients and people can test there, and yeah.
Okay, so how long does that take usually when there's a new expansion? How much time do you need to implement that in the client?
2 months?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it depends a lot on how much time every day I can put into it. And it also depends on, is there a really revolutionary new concept?
Yeah.
That my code was not designed for at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And from the, I think like from the commercial point of view, do you have like a contract or something that is for these years, and like under this contract, so like every expansion that comes out in the next, I don't know, 5 years, you have the rights to, or do you have like for each individual expansion, you have to like sign a new lease?
No, it's not about individual expansions. There's a requirement that when a new expansion comes out, that I also release it online.
Oh, okay. It's required actually. Interesting.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's, I guess that's the answer to your question.
Yes.
The contract is not for individual expansions.
Yeah. Okay. And then you also have this, I mean, I don't know if you have info about this, but I came to Dominion Online by someone bought the game, and then there was this little voucher, right, that came with it for 1 month.
Yeah.
So you also have like cooperations with the game publishers.
Altenburger.
Yeah.
I did. Yeah.
Okay.
I was a bit more active in the past than it isn't right now, but yeah.
Do you have any info on how, because I don't, but I'd be curious about that, but also I don't know if you have an info about that, but like how people get to, like how people find the client?
Nope.
Okay. I mean, yeah. Also, it makes sense. I don't know, like from what I've heard, it's probably like 50-50 between, I know a lot of people who like found Dominion Online through that little voucher that comes with the,
okay,
with the actual game.
That could also be because you are from Germany.
Yeah, I was thinking about that too, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So is it, but does that mean it's only in the German edition? Or?
No, but it has been in some German editions. And also in some English.
Yeah, okay. Interesting. See, it's, I mean, because like I grew up in Germany and I am German, I'm like very used to this, like, I don't know, love of games, I guess, that it's just a very, very widespread thing here. And I was just not aware that that's maybe unusual, I guess, or that. Yeah, Germany is that big of of an industry with regard to games. I had no idea.
Look at you.
Yeah. Yeah, and I remember being introduced to Dominion 2 when it was like very new, and we definitely played it a lot in my family for a short amount of time, and then it's somehow, I don't know, we just didn't, and then I came back to it in 2020, and then there were all these expansions and all these cards, and I was completely overwhelmed.
Yeah.
But it's such a great game. All right. Do you have any other thoughts on Dominion in general? Because if not, we will move to other topics.
I don't know. Probably. Go on.
We love the game. Okay. So Assemble Me wanted to know if you have other projects outside of Dominion, and you already talked a little bit about that in the introduction. You want to talk about it a little bit more? You said you are training to be a teacher.
Primary school teacher.
What is that? Primary school in the Netherlands is what and when and how many years and
That's for kids from age 6 to 12. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what to say about it? The education, it takes 3 years.
Mm-hmm. What year are you in?
First.
Wow.
First year.
Yeah.
So it's for me, it's mostly about learning how to stay in control of these kids. I don't know how to say this.
In a
manner that both works and is somewhat nice.
Yeah.
And how to explain things. I think obviously my general knowledge of math and language is way above what they require, but learning how to explain it and learning how to grasp and hold their interest and enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to say. I think it's a really complex job in the end, but it's also done by so many people.
Yeah. No, definitely. No, I'm very curious because, so 6 years, that's a lot of time, right? Do you have like a focus where you say, okay, I'm going to do like years 1 and 2 or years 5 and 6?
In the last years of the study, you're supposed to pick a focus.
Okay.
And I think I'll focus on a bit of the older kids, but I don't know yet.
And how is this organized in the Netherlands, like subject-wise? Do you have like, okay, you have math and then you have, I don't even remember. I don't even remember what subjects you have, but there are like separate subjects, right? And then you get more and more of them. And then by year 5... you have English and you have, I don't know, some type of social stuff.
in the primary school in the Netherlands, there's, one teacher who teaches almost everything.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like the teacher of the kids.
Yes.
And there's probably someone who does music and someone who does gymnastics. Those are dedicated teachers. But, you're supposed to do everything else.
Yeah.
And then in secondary school, there are people who give specific classes to many more different kids.
So even in year 5 and year 6, when you're still in primary school, you have like one main teacher who does basically all the classes except for music. And
yeah, that's it.
Interesting. Okay. Well, so you have to be a little bit of an all-rounder and know a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's so cool.
Yeah. I don't know yet. I hope so.
You can play Dominion with them.
You can certainly try, yes.
I talked to one of the like really the veteran players, Gamesu, who has played in each and every single League season since the inception of League. And he talked about how he plays Dominion with his son. And when they started I don't remember what HSN was, but when they started, but they started out with like three kingdom card kingdoms.
Yeah.
So that, and then that he would always have a handicap of some sorts, but that sounded fascinating to me.
Yeah. Could certainly work.
Yeah. So pretty cool. Well, I think teachers deserve a lot of respect. It's not an easy job. I hope you have thought about this long and hard before you made the decision to get that training.
Yeah, I did. I did.
Yeah.
And it's certainly not easy, no. I've also come to experience that, well, it can be really tough.
Yeah.
To be, around 30-ish kids.
Mm-hmm.
Who really want to do something else.
Yeah, and now they have to do math. Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, that's also a lot of kids. Is that a typical class size?
Year 25 is probably more typical.
Mm-hmm. 25 6-year-olds.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, it's also a very... It's a good job for doing a lot of good in the world. All the best to you and your education.
Yeah, well, thanks. For now, it's still more of a, yeah, it's a, no, I did really start the education. I've been doing it for a year, but it still feels like something that I plan on doing, not something that I'm actually doing yet.
Mm. Have you already done like internships and stuff? Have you
worked with? Certainly.
Yeah. Cool.
It's mostly a practical, education.
Oh, I see. Okay. I mean, yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. Is there, I mean, I know like for secondary school, there is like the curriculum where you have to like, do certain topics, and I guess in a sense that's also true for the primary school, right, where you have to be like,
yeah,
okay, you have to learn like the basic mathematics and you have to like learn how to read and write and stuff, but apart from that, like content wise is there, because like I have no memory of my primary school, but are there any things like that you have to, the kids have to, like, are there any stories or whatever? I'm just grasping for things here, but I'm just curious, like, what does the curriculum look like for primary school kids?
Yeah, it people try to write it all down.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are also a lot of complaints about all these things that have been written down. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's so much the things you could teach these kids in 6 years.
Yeah.
And it's either too vague or it's too specific or it's wrong or it's, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's a lot of debate and a lot of changes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
When do you start learning languages?
What do you mean? As a kid?
Yeah. So will you be teaching them English too, for example?
Yeah. Oh, you mean foreign languages?
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, there's your first language starts a lot younger.
Yes.
Yeah. They do get English in, like, when they're 11 years old. I know, because that's where I've been now.
Okay.
I'm not sure if they start at 10 already. And then there are usually some special programs for kids who want to know more.
Mm-hmm.
And they can learn, well, anything, Spanish, French, German, mm-hmm. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. But you will do English with them?
English with the entire class, yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's the first language. I mean, yeah, that makes sense. Cool. Oh, this is so fascinating. Very,
yeah.
Very cool. Well, going back to our questions, I forgot, like, that we have one more Dominion question. Because some of you wanted to know how much Dominion you play. And that's also a thing that I'm interested in. How much Dominion do you play?
I don't know.
Do you play every day?
No. But I think more than half of the days. Yeah.
Okay, so every other day, basically.
Yeah. Hmm. That sounds like a reasonable answer.
Yeah. How much time, like, when you play every other day, is it for, I don't know, you play two ladder games and
that's no, it, sometimes or? I play much more. Mm-hmm. I don't even know how to answer this.
I think that's totally sufficient.
I guess I could look up how many games I've played on the ladder.
Oh, please do. And please tell me your current ranking.
It's usually it's around 65, 66. Mm-hmm. Level, and how do I look this up? I guess I played a lot of ranked games over the years.
Is there a way to look it up? Because, like, I mean, you're not on the leaderboard, so I can't.
No,
I can't see how many.
I don't know. Neither can I.
Okay, well, so we just conclude that you played a lot of ranked games.
There is. I can look it up. I mean, it just would take a little bit of time.
How much time are we talking? An hour?
Yeah. No. Like 2 minutes at most. I just have to connect to the database and find out what question to type in.
Well, I have time. I have 2 minutes. This is a very important question. All my listeners need to know the answer to.
Oh, but I just... I messed up.
Uh-oh.
I don't think I'm going to find out right now.
Okay. That's fine. Don't worry. I mean, you probably know that Jane Ailes is a jester, but...
Jester, yeah.
Okay. Yeah? Oh, he wanted to know what Steph stands for.
I don't know how to answer that. It's my name.
Yeah. Is it short for something? Maybe.
Stephen? Okay. Probably.
Yeah. Oh, but Steph is like your actual first name.
Steph is my actual name. Yep.
Oh, okay. I see. See, I always thought it was like short for... Yeah, for Stefan or something. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It probably is.
Mm-hmm. Just Netherlands for you. Yeah. And then Janice also wanted to know what your favorite singer or band is.
Yeah, I don't really have one, I'd say.
What does that mean? You just don't, you're not interested in music?
I'm not really interested in music. I enjoy it when it's on, but no.
Okay.
Correct. Okay. I'm not interested in it.
And then, this is funny because you also, as you will have seen, you also said what I would have to answer to whatever it was that your answer was. So he wanted me to say, I thought your answer to the last question was ridiculous. This is not a question. I just wanted you to know. Which actually, since your answer is that you don't actually listen to music, that's
ridiculous.
It is ridiculous, in fact, yes. And then he also, like, this is a very important question, he also wanted to know, what is the most fearsome animal you think you have greater than equal odds of defeating in unarmed combat? I was thinking about this question for myself, but I'm curious to know if you have what your answer would be. The most fearsome animal. I mean, that implies that you...
I don't want to fight an animal at all where I have like 50% chance of survival. Or maybe 51%. I guess it's a human.
That's so smart. I think yeah. The question implies that there are, like, everyone fears animals the same amount, right? But I personally, I am, like, I hate beetles, for example. So they are very fearsome to me.
Okay, now I don't have a specific fear for animals. I have a natural fear for heights. Mm-hmm. But I think that's the only one that I know of that... Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I see. So here you go, Janelle. The answer is humans. Okay. So back to Alibi. Alibi wants to know, outside of playing Dominion, what are your favorite summer and winter activities?
Sailing.
That's what he thought you would say.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I've told him that before, so yeah. It's not so strange.
Yeah. Actually, can you say a bit more? You said in the introduction that you basically grew up on boats. What does that mean?
That means my parents lived on a ship.
They lived on a ship.
I was born on a ship.
Wow.
I mean the. After me and my sister were born, they didn't travel all that much anymore.
Yeah.
Like they did that more before we were born. Mm-hmm. But we still sailed every summer for like 3 months or so.
Wow. Where did you go?
Yeah.
Like where did you sail to?
We went a lot to Germany.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what this is called. I guess it was a form of tourism where people would come aboard our boats and slept there for 2 weeks. Groups of like 30-ish people.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, wow. So that was a big boat, a big ship.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And can I ask... So you absolutely don't have to answer, but just because you said you were born on a ship, that was that a conscious choice by your parents, or was it just like that was the time and it happened?
Well, they lived there, so it was a conscious choice to try, and yeah, I guess.
Huh. That's fascinating. That is so fascinating. Well, okay. It's very impressive. I'm very impressed. Okay. So winter activities.
Winter, playing board games. I like playing squash. I do that most of the year, or maybe all year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what else to answer. Mm-hmm. I play a lot of bridge.
Ooh. Okay. The bridge, the card game.
Yep. Huh. Yep.
Interesting. The unexpected.
Okay.
Great answer. All right.
Yeah,
so...
I really enjoy it. So, and there is a club quite close to my home. Mm-hmm. Where I mean of course bridge is kind of like a game for old people. But there are a very few clubs in the Netherlands, at least, which they're called like student clubs, mm-hmm. where the average age is much younger, and you can just play against people your own age. Mm-hmm. So, I like that.
Yeah, cool. I have not played bridge in a long time, but I played it a lot when I was younger. Did not expect us. This is cool.
Okay.
And
I mean, it's not that far from Dominion in my mind. It's also like you have cards in your hand, and it's a lot about chances and taking risks, being rewarded. Yeah.
Building engines. Yeah.
No, building engines is not really happy.
And apart from Dominion, okay, I guess that's also like probably an answer to the question about other games that have captured your interest, like Dominion. And the answer is Bridge. But apart from Dominion, what are some of your favorite games?
Well, there have been a lot. I like Great Western Trail.
Mm-hmm.
Still, very much. But yeah, in general, it's a bit, well, slightly more complex board games. I think the Dominion is a bit on the shorter end of the games that I really enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Most it's more games that take around 2 or 3 hours and involve more strategy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But then again, there are also settings where I like fast-paced, simple games. So it depends a lot on the people I'm with and the mood I'm in.
For sure. Do you like cooperative games too?
Yeah, some. I liked Just One.
I liked
Magic Maze.
Oh, that is, yeah, I got introduced to that.
Quite a bit.
Mm-hmm, in March, and it's really fun, yeah.
Yeah, it is. So I do. I never expected to. I mean, at first there were some, I think it's quite recently for me that I discovered some cooperative games that are actually good. like 10 years ago, I was introduced to some cooperative games that turned out to be just bad games. But then I got the impression, hey, I don't like cooperative games.
Mm-hmm. I see. I have sort of the same thing with long games, to be honest, because when I was back at university, like say, 10 years ago, I would, like, friends and I would play a lot of Arkham Horror and like this type.
I've played one game of Arkham Horror this year.
Wow. Okay. So I mean, and we would meet at 8 p.m. or something. And then first, like, we cook and we have dinner and then we start setting up the game and then we start playing the game. And it would always take forever. It's a cooperative game, but you almost like never win. At least we did not. And maybe it's because we didn't play well or anything, but that stuck in my mind as like, I don't know, like I don't like playing 5-hour games or 6-hour games. I just don't. But I do like cooperative games. So
I didn't enjoy that at all.
Yeah. Okay. Good. That's a relief. I mean, I'm sorry for you, but
yeah, I think it was just a bad game.
Yeah.
Or I don't know. I
just very imbalanced. I don't know.
It also, I don't like fantasy, so.
What, Steph? No. What?
Yeah. I do not.
Okay, fine.
Fine, but not fine at all.
I will let that one slide. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people talk about how, like, Twilight Imperium is such a great game, but that's also one that takes forever, like 6, 7, 8 hours, and I don't know, it would be so hard for me to even like convince myself to start playing the game, because just the prospect of, okay, this is going to take this long, I feel like 2 hours is an okay length. But like you said, depending on the people who you play with, right? If I play with my family, then like I would choose a game that is faster, obviously. Mm-hmm. But cool. Okay, well, we are pretty much on the 2-hour mark, and
yep,
we
covered most of the questions, right?
We did.
Maybe even all.
I think so. We are.
I also found the number of games I played.
Oh, okay. Meanwhile, yes, please.
It's 17,000 something.
Oh my god. Wait, is that, I have to compare that to the actual leaderboard.
It's a lot.
That is so many games.
Let's see.
Okay, so the current number 2 is at 17.
Rubistia has about the same number. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Oh, I guess Silly Potter
Silly
still bothers me.
Potter! Oh my god! Okay, well, that's crazy. And V.R. Smith is also. Okay. I see. And Jane Eyre, so many.
Yeah.
I see. Okay, well, that's good too. That's a good comparison.
But it's more than I expected. I mean, it's like 8 a day on average. Yeah, 7 a day on average, something like that. I guess there are days that I just play a lot. And really a lot.
I mean, yeah, I feel like it always depends on what you play the game for, right? I just like to play the bot and listen to music or a podcast or whatever. It's just for me to kind of relax. And like I know that many people don't play the game that way, but it just depends on what your aim is with that, right? And how you use it. Ah, well, Steph, thank you so much. Thank you for being so candid and answering all those impertinent questions.
Sure.
And good luck with your training, and I guess like in general, just a thank you for creating the client and creating League and everything. You bring a lot of joy to people, I would
Well,
say.
thanks. That's a great compliment. Yeah, thanks to you for doing this.
Of course, you're very welcome. You're very welcome.
Okay, thanks you.
And have a nice rest of your weekend.
Yep, merci.
Okay. Bye.
Yep, ciao.
And that's it for this very special interview episode. Thanks again to Steph for being so candid. Thank you to everyone who sent in questions, Alibi1152, Monster Cheese, Sam E, Janiels, and Assemble Me. Thank you all for tuning in. You can find me on Discord for feedback or if you have suggestions for future interview guests. I am Edge Trumpf and I'll catch you all next time. The game has ended. Bye! Thank you.